Okay, I have admitted the members of the public to the meeting.
Hey, we will begin the meeting. Welcome to the April 2021 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Before we get started, I'm going to ask moderator Herb August to provide instructions for members of the public and council members about how to participate in the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All members of the public will remain on mute throughout the meeting. When it's time for public comment, Chairman Richko will make an announcement. At that time, members of the public wishing to speak should raise their hands. For those participating via video, please use the raise hand function in Zoom. And if you're participating by phone, please press *9 to raise your hand. You will be identified by your name and the last four digits of your phone number, depending on how you are participating. At that time, you will be unmuted. Please watch and or listen for instructions and note that there may be a delay before you are called on and before you're unmuted. Your patience is appreciated. When it is your turn to speak, please begin by providing your name and any organization you're representing. And when you're finished speaking, please indicate that you are done. As a reminder, all comments are limited to 3 minutes and members of the public are limited to one comment per resolution and one comment during the general public comment session at the end of the meeting. Council members, you have the ability to mute and unmute yourselves without assistance from me or any of the staff. Please note that if there is extraneous noise on your line, a staff member may mute you so that it doesn't interrupt the meeting. Lastly, council members, if you're experiencing a problem, you can call the executive director at 201-208-4311. That's 201-208-4311.
Thank you, Herb. Annette, please call the roll.
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tim Daugherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Haltaway.
Present.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Michael Sebetich.
I'm here.
Dan Van Abs.
Here.
James Vizioli. Richard Voden.
Here.
Okay. Thank you, Annette. Would you please also call the roll to the Highlands Council staff and other colleagues that are present?
Yes, Lisa Plevin.
She was muted, but she did say
that.
She was
here. Christine LaRocca.
Here.
Gabrielle Gallagher.
Here.
James Humphreys.
Here.
Mary Jude Haddock-Weiler.
Here.
Herb August.
Here.
Carol Dickton.
Here.
Tom Taglarini.
Here.
Lauren Nathan LaRusso.
Here.
And Jason Kane.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Annette. Please read the Open Public Meetings Act.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. Pursuant to the declared COVID-19 public health emergency and state of emergency, and in order to maintain recommended social distancing practices, the meeting is being conducted by means of teleconference. As stated in the public notice, any interested party may participate by telephone. The notice also advises that participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up to the close of business on Friday, April 16th, 2021.
Thank you, Annette.
Excuse me, Carl. Annette, I wanted to let you know we've been joined by Mayor Daugherty.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Please join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we'll move on to the chairman's report. I have a few items in my report this month. First, council members are already aware, but for the benefit of the public, I will share that Rob Walton has resigned as a member of the council effective March 31st. I appreciate Rob's almost 10 years of public service to the Highlands Council as a member, as chair of the audit and of the land equity and land preservation committees, and also as chairman of the HDC Bank. I'm just gonna stop here a second and just have anyone that is not muted to please mute yourself, because every time somebody makes a noise, they do, their screen comes up. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Rob has always worked hard to fulfill his responsibilities in all of these roles, and we appreciate his dedication. I know you'll join me in thanking Rob for his service and wishing him all the best. Next, I'd like to announce that I recently asked Councilmember Dan Van Abs to serve on the Regional Master Plan Amendment Committee. He graciously agreed. Councilmember Van Abs has helped draft the Regional Master Plan, and his experience and perspective will surely be an asset to the committee. Thank you, Dan. I'd also like to mention that a petition for plan conformance from Hunterdon County will likely come before the council next month. The petition is currently posted to the Highlands Council website for public comment, and comments are being accepted for the next 2 weeks through April 29th. This will be the third county petition to come before the council. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge that Jeff Tittle, director of New Jersey Sierra Club chapter, recently announced that he will be retiring on May 1st. For more than 50 years, Jeff has been an advocate for the protection and preservation of the New Jersey natural resources and for the protection of our state's environment. He has been New Jersey Sierra Club director for the past 23 years. Jeff was instrumental in helping pass the Highlands Act in 2004. In the 1990s, he worked with legislators, environmental organizations, and citizen groups from New Jersey and New York in a bi-state effort to save 20,000 acres of forested land in the area known as Sterling Forest. Many legislators have commented on Jeff Tittle's retirement. I would like to quote one. New Jersey State Senator Kip Bateman said, I quote, "New Jersey's environment is a much better place because of Jeff's leadership and commitment to a cleaner New Jersey. His legacy will continue, but his retirement will certainly be a loss for New Jersey's environment." I agree with Senator Bateman. Many thanks to Jeff for all he's done for our state, especially for the Highlands region. Best wishes to him for a happy and active retirement. Before we move on to the executive director's report, do any council members have comments or questions about anything in my report?
I'd like to follow up on Jeff Tittle. I've known him for many, many years. He was the person who was instrumental in having me apply to the council. And he's a bulldog, as you say, on the environment, on every environmental issue. He seems extreme sometimes, but sometimes these extremes need to be stated in order to get some work done. And he did that. He had this forum with the Sierra Club, and it was a good one. And I'm hoping that he doesn't go away completely and still will be able to speak on environmental issues through the press and other media. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Savatich. I totally agree with your assessment of his retirement. Anyone else would like to speak on anything that I brought up?
Chairman, it's Mike Dressler.
Yes, Mike.
I'd like to express my, sadness at Rob Walton leaving the council. I thought Rob was an excellent member. He was, in my estimation, on the committees that we served on together, he was a pleasure to work with. We had meetings of the minds on a number of issues, on the committee, and I think he was a terrific member. I'm going to miss him. I consider Rob a friend, and I think that we as a council, are a little less today because Rob Walton's gone.
Council Member Dressler, well put. I agree. Anyone else would like to speak on anything that I had during my chairman's report? Okay, hearing none, we move on to the executive director's report. Lisa?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the Highlands Council office in Chester continues to remain closed, but fully functional in support of Executive Order 104. As Chairman Richko mentioned, the Hunterdon County petition for plan conformance was released for public comment on March 29th, and comments are being accepted through April 29th. In addition, I'd like to note that as a result of our recent MOU with the Office of Planning Advocacy, they completed a review of this petition prior to its release for public comment. I have some exciting news to share on the climate change front. Earlier this week, the entire Interagency Council on Climate Resilience, including our agency, met earlier to review the draft climate change resilience strategy. They expect to release this document for public comment within the next 2 weeks. And our agency will be doing an outreach on this to all Highlands municipalities and counties and to our listserv, urging their review of this document and for them to comment on it. We're very, very pleased that a number of key Highlands related issues are in fact focused on in this strategy. And obviously we'll continue to keep you posted on this. On the municipally issued exemptions front, since my prior report, we've been notified of the following exemptions. Montville Township issued 2 exemption number 5s. Mahwah Township issued 2 exemption number 4s. And Jefferson Township issued 1 exemption number 2. For project reviews, staff are currently reviewing 3 new projects that have come in since my prior report. The first is Hudson Farm in Hopatcong Borough is seeking a site-specific water quality management plan amendment related to the construction of a pavilion with a maximum seating capacity of 150 and a pro shop with a kitchen. Hunterdon County is seeking a preservation area exemption number 9 for a resurfacing and safety improvement project on County Route 517 in Tewksbury Township. And lastly, the North Jersey Water Supply Commission is seeking a preservation area exemption number 11 for the installation of a floating solar array on the Wanacue Reservoir in Wanacue Borough in order to provide power for the commission's headquarters and water filtration plant. For personnel updates, the Highlands Council has completed interviews with candidates to fill the vacant resource management specialist position, and we actually anticipate extending an offer this week. So hopefully that will continue to move along. I wanted to let you know that our audit services contract with our current vendor recently expired, and the council issued a request for proposals for audit services last Thursday, April 8th, so we can identify a vendor and enter into a new contract before the next audit cycle begins. I also wanted to provide you with a quick update on one of the projects that the council approved a little over a year ago. You'll recall that the Functional Ecosystem Valuation, or FEV, project is designed to create a methodology for evaluating and assigning a numeric value to natural resource assets in the Highlands. The intent is to have a system in place that can aid our project review process. So when a proposed project involves natural resource disturbance, the impact and appropriate mitigation can be measured and identified. As you may recall, the methodology was completed in late 2019, and in February of last year, the council approved a contract to field test this. 9 sites have been identified for that field testing, 3 in the preservation area, 3 in the planning area, and 3 sites with land in both. Field testing is currently underway and will continue throughout the growing season. A desktop analysis of the methodology has been drafted and is under staff review, and the project should be completed by the end of this year or early next year. Additionally, on a different topic, we issued the RFP for our municipal average research and hopefully determination. Two firms responded, and the review committee has decided to interview one of them, which is scheduled for mid-May. So as a result, the May 6th HDC Bank board meeting will be canceled. We will likely reschedule this meeting when we are ready to discuss awarding a contract regarding municipal average research, which will hopefully be in June. And lastly, our next council meeting is scheduled for May 20th. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. Do any council members have any questions for our executive director?
I have a question.
Yes. Council member Savatich.
Yeah, this ecological evaluation scoring system, is this available to be viewed on the web?
I'll let James or Carol answer that. I think since it's still in draft, I'm not sure if it's been released to the public yet. But I don't know, Carol or James, do you know the answer? If it's
no, that's the answer. It's still in draft form. And it, obviously, if the council member wants to see it, we can connect him with Carrie and she can provide him some more information and a copy of the draft. But since it's still in draft form, it hasn't been shared with the public yet.
So if I wanted to see the draft, could I see the draft?
Yes.
And
right, James? I mean, we can release it to council members. Oh, yeah.
Certainly. Yeah, we'll get Carrie to contact you. She's the lead on the project. So she can provide you a draft and a summary of what's going on.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I see we've been joined by Councilmember Vizioli.
Welcome, Councilmember Vizioli. Let me make sure I'm unmuted. Okay, I am. Any other questions for the executive director? Okay, hearing none. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the February meeting. May I please have a motion and a second, and please remember to identify yourself as you're making the motion. Who would like to make that motion?
Chairman, I'll make that motion, Holtaway.
Okay, moved by Council Member Holtaway. Who would like to make the second?
I'll second, Jim Vizioli.
Okay, moved by Council Member Holtaway and seconded by Council Member Vizioli. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, Annette, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes, sorry, I had to unmute.
That's okay. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Minutes pass.
Next on the agenda is the Regional Stormwater Project Update. In July 2019, this council awarded a contract to Rutgers University Cooperative Extension Water Resources Program to develop a regional stormwater management plan for a portion of the New Jersey Highlands. The project targets an area within the Raritan River watershed and involves 24 Highlands municipalities. Dr. Chris Arupta of Rutgers is here today to provide us with an overview and update on this project. Dr. Arupta is an extension specialist in water resources with the Rutgers Cooperative Extension. And at this time, I'll turn things over to Dr. Arupta. And welcome to you, Dr. Arupta.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Is that okay? Yeah?
Yes,
okay,
we can.
Good. Yeah, I've been having some problems with the microphone earlier today, so I just wanna be sure you can hear me. Can I share my screen? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. I've got a quick PowerPoint. Lisa told me I have 15 minutes or she's going to throw me off. So I'm going to try to adhere to that. So this is my contact information here and my website. This was a great project working closely with the Highlands Council. I worked a lot with Kelly Curran. She was very good about working with us on this and was fantastic. We're with the Cooperative Extension Service. You guys all know us. We've been around for about 100 years. extending the knowledge of Rutgers University out to the state to help people solve their water problems. I run the Water Resources Program, really focusing on empowering and engaging municipalities to take some action and to try to create a more sustainable and equitable New Jersey. So that's what we are. That's who we are. That's what we do. I'm housed here in New Brunswick. I also teach in the environmental science department here. I'm a civil engineer is my background. I have 10 full-time staff who work for me, and we blanket the whole state dealing with a lot of this work. And it's been a great pleasure to work in the Highlands, and thank you guys for supporting us on this. So we looked at these towns, and there's actually 27 towns. We had done three already under some other funding. So really, we were focusing on 24 towns here in the Highlands. So it's really the north and south branch of the Raritan River. So you can see the towns here and the outline of the Highlands region. The whole focus of this was trying to understand some regional stormwater management planning, but then boiling it down and looking at individual municipalities and then feeding it back into a regional examination of what's going on. So the basis of this is we want to focus a lot on impervious cover. We know from Tom Schuler's work at the Center for Watershed Protection that once you get beyond 2% impervious cover in a watershed, you start seeing impact to the waterways. Once you get beyond 10% impervious cover, your waterways are impaired. And once you get beyond 25% impervious cover, your waterways really become non-supportive and there's some serious issues there. So by looking at impervious cover as an indicator of health and identifying opportunities to remediate stormwater runoff from impervious cover, we believe we can actually affect stormwater on a regional basis. What we're trying to get towns to implement is green infrastructure. So trying to manage stormwater closer to the source where it lands before it carries pollution from the land into our rivers and into our lakes. So we're capturing it, filtering it, and absorbing water back into the ground. There's a ton of different green infrastructure practices. I'm not going to bore you too much with this, but we really focus a lot on bioretention. Bioretention closely mimics what happens in nature in a forested land where, you know, now we're capturing water in this landscape system. We often refer to it as a rain garden because the term bioretention tends to scare a lot of homeowners and a lot of mayors. So rain gardens seem to be a little bit more sensitive to that. So the idea is these landscape features capture the first few inches of runoff, hold the water, let it slowly percolate in the ground, provide a ton of ancillary benefits from habitat to sequestering carbon for climate change. So it really becomes a nice system. We also deal a lot with permeable pavements is another system we deal with. So porous asphalt parking lots and things like that. So we're capturing water underneath the parking lot. It's filtering through a stone layer before it gets to the groundwater table and gets cleaner and cleaner as it makes its way into the groundwater table. So these are the major systems we're dealing with right now. And now New Jersey DEP requires all major developers to use green infrastructure to address the stormwater requirements. So this is a quick look at these municipalities and the percent impervious cover. And remember, I told you that once you get beyond 2%, you start seeing impact. Once you get beyond 10%, waterways are impaired. And then once you get beyond 25%, you're in some serious trouble there. So you can see the smaller boroughs like Lebanon and the town of Clinton, their percentages get to be really high. And so these are some issues that we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we go into these places and actually deal with this? And then here's the rest of the towns. So if we just do a straight average of the percent impervious cover for all the towns in this region of the Highlands average about 10.5% impervious cover. This tends to indicate to us that we really need to begin addressing this and deal with it from a water quality standpoint. Now, the issue with the impervious cover is that we do have stormwater regulations that require new development to do a very good job of managing stormwater runoff. But where we're seeing the impairments mostly come from is historic development. So development that was built before 2000, before the 1990s, where they had very little stormwater management practice or stormwater management practices that did not deal with water quality, just kind of water quantity. And that was a big problem. So for each town, I want to show you what we've done really quick on a township basis. So this is the town of Clinton. We do a quick land use analysis of the town. And we present this to the town, and we actually presented this on Monday to the Environmental Commission. Lisa Plevin and Kelly and I went to the meeting, and you know, they were very excited about this because we were showing them projects in their town, specific to their town, not something like general. And we actually had a phone call from them today. They want us to come back and present to the township committee now, because we presented to the Environmental Commission, and one of the town council members was on there, and he wants us to come back. So we look at land use. You know, we designate urban as a color red because that has really the most impact when we're thinking about stormwater runoff. We break urban down further into different categories: low density residential, medium density residential, high density commercial, industrial. And the idea is that each one of these categories winds up having a different kind of impervious cover and also different sources of pollution coming off of that land use. We also look at it by sub watershed. And there's a couple reasons for this. Is because we like to be able to combine plans together, and that's kind of the regional aspect. So I can take information from this plan on a Beaver Brook and combine it with the information from the next town, Clinton Township, that has Beaver Brook in it, and see how we can combine the information. The other reason is there's often funding available in different watersheds in New Jersey, the way DEP funds projects. So at times there's funding available in the Raritan River South Branch. In this case, we may have projects that we've identified there, so the town can actually submit those projects for funding. The other reason we do that is because we want to understand how the impervious cover changes in watersheds. So if we look at the town of Clinton, we've got Beaver Brook, the South Branch of the Raritan River, and Spruce Run Reservoir water drains directly to that. And you can see the different percent impervious cover. So if I was going to go into the town of Clinton and try to put in some stormwater practices to remediate runoff from existing development, I would probably want to start in the Beaver Brook watershed because it has the highest percent impervious cover. Okay. And when we actually met with the town, they confirmed that. They said they have a lot of parking lots that go right up to the river's edge, and this would be a great place to start. So it really kind of touched a really good spot with them, and they were really excited about that. And then we look at how much stormwater runs off of just the impervious surfaces for different storm events. So in New Jersey, we have something called the water quality storm, which is an inch and a quarter of rain over two hours. We say in New Jersey that 90% of the rainfall events come in storms that are less than an inch and a quarter. And if I can capture that first inch and a quarter runoff in a practice, I can manage 90% of the water. So this becomes a really nice way to think about it. And if you look at this town of Clinton, about 7.1 million gallons of stormwater runs off of just the impervious surfaces during the water quality storm. And then we have annual rainfall. Here we're looking at annual rainfall of 44 inches. In the report, we're also looking at a rainfall of 50 inches, which would be complementary to an extreme that they're predicting for New Jersey under climate change. So we'll look at that too as part of the final report. We look at places where we can actually put practices in. So this is like our short list. And then we go out and actually see these sites and take photographs, take measurements, and do some preliminary conceptual designs of where projects could go, what kind of practice could be employed at these prices. And when we're driving from one place to another, we actually find other places. And it's a great example. So these are some of the sites we found in the town of Clinton. But, you know, we were driving from one location to another, and we came across this pediatric surgical associates. And we said, wow, there's a big parking lot here. Maybe there's something we can do here. So we actually included it in a plan. We're recommending maybe putting a rain garden in front of the building. And we actually sometimes take the next step. We show the photograph of the front of the building, and then we show where the rain garden would go and what it would look like if we go ahead and actually designed it and built it. This is kind of what it could look like. And this is a great selling point to these people who own the property, and they may want to move forward with this. So we've done this for the 24 towns in the watershed. And then we kind of went back and we said, okay, let's break this section of the Highlands into their sub-watersheds. And we went down to the HUC 11 level. HUC stands for Hydraulic Unit Code. It's a USGS way of categorizing watersheds, and you can see the four HUCs here. There's also a fifth HUC, which is near the bottom here, And I didn't include this because it's really only a small piece of that huck. So we really focused on these four bigger ones, and we trimmed them all to the Highlands boundary. So we're only looking at the land inside the Highlands. And then we looked at impervious cover, and we looked at it from 2002 to 2007, 2012, 2015. And these are the data that's readily available from New Jersey DEP. And we found something very interesting here. I think as DEP started measuring impervious cover and putting it into their geographic information system, I think they got better at it as they've gone along. And we can see the 2015 data is much higher in many cases than everything else. And yes, there has been more development, but there's also been a refinement of how DEP actually measures this impervious cover. So this becomes something we were looking at, and this matches up very nicely with what we found for the towns. We found an average impervious cover of about 10.5% for the towns, and that kind of fits nicely into what we see here on the regional analysis. Then we went to the next step, and we actually looked at each of those huck areas, those sub-watershed areas, and we divided it into the eight land use categories that we typically use when we're calculating non-point source pollution. We actually have area loading coefficients for each one of these categories, how many pounds of phosphorus wash off the high and medium density residential land use, how many pounds per acre per year washes off, how many pounds of nitrogen, and how many pounds of total suspended solids. So those are water quality analysis. Here, we're just looking at water quantity and how much stormwater runs off. What I think is very interesting here, though, is we can see that for this watershed actually has a lot of forested water wetland areas, about 54%. And the next kind of highest category is low density rural residential, which would be homes on bigger lots, about 21.2%. But when you start thinking about where's the impervious cover, it's not coming from the forested water wetlands area. There's some there, but not a lot. It's all coming from the residential area. Okay, so this tells us that, you know, if we want to begin addressing impervious cover in this watershed, one place we might want to do it is at these single family larger homes and target programs to them where we can actually address some of that. And then we could see that both ties into the amount of runoff on an annual basis, looking at that 44 inches of rain a year. So if we can really look at that residential, we might be able to get those numbers down significantly. And by doing residential programs to promote this and really focus on changing behavior. I've did this for all four of the hucks, and that's all in here. I'm not going to bore you with that. I'll save some time for some questions. The next thing we did was we actually had identified over 250 projects in these 24 towns that can actually go in tomorrow and would be a great mechanism for managing stormwater, retrofitting existing development that has no stormwater management. So we went back and we looked at each one of those projects and we said, well, how much impervious cover reduction are we getting? Are we proposing if we actually put all these practices in? So we looked at all the high density and medium density residential sites that we have identified practices for. And we said on average, we can get about a 17.1% reduction in impervious cover, or 17.1% of the impervious cover could be managed with stormwater green infrastructure practices. And then we looked at rural residential, commercial, industrial, and there's also a mixed urban category that they have that kind of is urban, but really doesn't fit into these other ones. So a lot of times schools kind of fit into that category too. So you can see this is a really kind of interesting analysis about where we might be able to get some maximum reductions. Now, having said that, we had about 175 sites of those 250 sites were commercial sites. And we range from a percent reduction from, you know, about 10% to about 80% in some cases. So there is a wide range of what you're able to get on site per site, but we thought we'd just use an average here. And then we went ahead and we said, okay, what kind of volume reduction would we get if we applied that to those land uses in those hucks? And that's kind of what this table shows you, how many millions of gallons we can reduce runoff by. Now for this, I only looked at the water quality storm, which is 1.25 inches of rain over 2 hours. But I also looked at the 2-year storm, which is 3.3 inches of rain over 24 hours. What we've been doing at Rutgers is we've been recommending that we design all our green infrastructure practices to handle the 2-year storm. So now we're capturing the first 3.5 inches of rain of the storm. and not just a first inch and a quarter. And that becomes a much more effective way to manage some of the bigger storms. And we know the climate's changing. We know there's going to be more intense storm events, and that'll make these practices more resilient. So you don't build these today and have to rebuild these 10 years from now. They'll be able to handle any increases that we see, you know, over that 10 or 20 year period. And I just want to leave you with this picture. It's funny. I was cleaning off my desk the other day and I found a rain garden calendar that we had put together in 2011. And it was interesting because one of the rain gardens here was at the Washington Township Library, and it was built in 2007. I completely had forgotten about this, but so there's already projects that have gone in the ground in this area. We had some great feedback from the towns, and I think the next steps with this is we want to continue to present these plans to the municipalities on an individual municipal basis. So far, we've made 7 presentations to towns. We have 4 other towns right now we're trying to schedule presentations for. So that's really exciting. When we give the presentation, Lisa's been coming, Kelly's been coming, other staff from the Highlands Council has been coming. And it's really a lot about, you know, gaining the town's trust, explaining this to them in an easy to understand format, and try to encouraging them to reach out to the Highlands Council and see if they can get some planning money to maybe get some money to design some of these projects and have those designs ready. So, you know, if that Infrastructure Act ever comes out of Washington, you know, we'll have 24 towns with projects ready to go, ready to be built. And that could be a great thing. So trying to encourage these municipalities to continue to partner with the Highlands Council and of course, Rutgers. And the last thing is, you know, we just did this for a portion of the Highlands. You know, I'm not sure if the next step is to do the rest of the Highlands region or not, but that's something to kind of consider. So that's my presentation, and I'll be glad to take some questions. Excellent. No questions? Great. Thanks.
Dr. Rupta. Okay. Dr. Rupta, thank you so much for your presentation.
No problem.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
All right. Well, thank you for your presentation. This is a project that will certainly benefit many towns in the Highlands and also the environment. Any questions from our council members?
I have a question.
Presentation. Council Member Sevetich.
Yeah. Chris, thank you for your presentation and all the hard work that you guys have done. And I'm wondering how you could initiate, put these things into the new developments that the towns start. Now you're talking about retrofitting old developments somehow and get rid of the impervious cover. If we had done this many years ago while the developments were going in, we wouldn't have so much impervious surface.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, so one of the things to think about now is it's been funny because when I started 20 years ago at Rutgers, no one really thought too much about these rain gardens and these natural systems and green infrastructure. And, you know, the new storm regulations just got finalized and adopted in March of 2021. And now they require all major development to use green infrastructure as their first means of addressing the stormwater regulations. So we've really kind of gone to the extreme where we've actually changed behavior, but we've changed the condition. Now, something that we were begging developers to do is now required. You know, so we're going to see a lot more of this. And that was a big question with the town of Clinton. One thing they kept saying is, you know, we've got like 5 developments that are ready to go that's been approved. Can you go talk to them, Chris, and try to convince them that they should change how they're managing stormwater? Now, I could certainly do that. And I've tried that before, and I've tried that many times. Usually at this stage of the game, though, when the development's already been approved, it's very hard to get the developer to go back and change plans. So the time to get the developer is at the very beginning, you know, when they come in with their initial concept to kind of begin thinking about this. And now that's required, they're going to have to think a little bit more about this, a little harder about this. And I think the other piece of this is trying to educate, you know, like on Monday night, I feel like we educated an entire environmental commission. And, you know, now they actually understand this a lot clearer. They know they could reach out to Lisa's group at the Highlands Council, and they're available to help them. So, you know, I really think that's a place to go is to put this in their head, to get them thinking about it. and make some headway. So, you know, I don't have to go to 24 township committee meetings every month in the Highlands, but I've got people out there who are pushing this idea and pushing this concept. The final thing I'll say is that, you know, if we can get this into new development, we're going to be really in great shape, and we're going to minimize any increases pollution going to our waterways. But in a lot of cases, we already have a lot of stuff washing off existing development, and we've got to find a way to go in and retrofit that. So there's a lot of talk in New Jersey about stormwater utilities, and that may be right and not right for different towns. But there's also a lot of talk about, you know, federal infrastructure money, and maybe that's a way to get some money to go in and fix some of these past problems too. So I think that's where we're trying to push people right now. Thanks.
I have a question. As we move forward with strategies such as this, and our town's involved with one also, by the way, has the state done anything to change their definition of impervious coverage so that when we measure, we actually know what we're measuring?
Well, they have a pretty standard definition of it, and you know, they've been giving people credit. You know, they used to not give people credit for the you know, the permeable pavers. You know, you put the paving stones down and you get infiltration through the cracks, and now I think they're giving people a little bit more credit for that, but it's still a place that DEP needs to be pushed on a little bit about what truly is impervious cover and what isn't. You know, it's funny because I talked to a farmer. He said, well, I got this stone road that I drive on my farm, and you know, it's stone, it's not impervious. Man, you've been driving on that for three generations. That's so compacted, not a drop of water is getting through that. But what's nice about that stone road is it runs off onto the farm field and it's getting absorbed in the soil. So it's really not directly connected impervious cover. It's disconnected where it's actually getting treated and getting absorbed in a lot of places before it gets there. So that's almost as good as putting in these practices that are going to capture the water and manage the first few inches. But yeah, Mike, there needs to be some more work with DEP on that and resolving that. Because I get that question a lot. You know, my town doesn't allow this to be considered pervious. You know, you're telling me porous asphalt. And like, well, it should be. You know, and I think a lot of the new regulations that came out in March is supposed to fix that. We'll see how it's interpreted and if that really happens, though.
Yeah, our town has changed the definition to suit us that make more sense. But the state, especially the DEP, is a little archaic when you give them new ideas. They don't do that well.
Well, I'm not allowed to comment on DEP.
I
you might be right about that. I'm not sure.
I am.
I've got to work with them. Sorry.
Any other council members have any questions for Dr. Rupta? Okay. I don't hear any others. I want to thank you, Dr. Rupta, and thank you also for our staff. This is a great partnership, a state commission working with the state university. And let's hope that we continue having this good partnership in the future. Thank you, Dr. Rupta.
Thank you very much.
Carl, yes, if I could just add, if you don't mind, I just wanted to add two quick things to what Chris mentioned. First of all, I wanted to emphasize something he touched on, which is when we're having these meetings with the individual municipalities, they are extremely appreciative of the fact that what Chris is focusing on are real life examples and real life situations in their own town. So I think that, you know, one-on-one is really, really important. The other thing I wanted to mention is I think we're all invested to make sure that they take this information and actually do something with it, that it doesn't end up in the proverbial desk drawer. And so we are planning, along with Chris's group, a webinar, a follow-up webinar for early June for all these municipalities where we can talk to them about next steps. We can talk to them about funding that would be available for them to take on some of these projects, and also some of the existing design and technical expertise that they could avail themselves of. So, you know, we want to take it to that next level, not just, you know, a briefing and then Chris vanishes into the night. So you'll all be invited to that. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, it will enable all these municipalities to take it to the next step.
Well, Lisa, there's one other thing I think it's important to point out is that we have these meetings and we're not just handing over a report. You know, we're sharing this information with them and we're asking them, you know, are there other sites that you'd like us to add to this plan? And you know, four of the seven towns you met with actually call us back and said, here's some sites we'd like you to add. you know, so they're excited about it. And I think, you know, that's a great place to get started is, you know, we got them, their interest. It's kind of trying to figure out how do we bring them home, you know? Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. I'm going to go get my steps in. I'll see you later.
Thank you, Chris.
Lisa, I'm glad you covered that because that was going to be one of my questions after you covered what is kind of the next step or next steps in the action plan. Mm-hmm. And that media thing, hopefully you get a high participation rate. That would be excellent.
Yeah, I hope so. The other thing I'll just add on top of what I said is, you know, the towns that we're providing this to see it as a service that our agency is providing them as a regional planning agency. And, you know, I think that's obviously positive as well for us.
Yeah. Okay, thank you all. We now move on to the Budget and Finance Committee. I'll ask Committee Chair Haltaway for his report.
Chairman, thank you very much. The proposal is for Lopatcong Township in Warren County, and it's a water use and conservation management plan for an amount of $60,000. Lopatcong Township does not currently have an allocation in their grant contract for the development of a water use and conservation management plan. In addition, the development of the WUCMP is being triggered by a proposed development project for which a water quality management plan amendment is required in order to obtain sewer service and the associated sub watershed, which is in deficit of net water availability. The total cost of the development of the study for Lopatcong Township is estimated to be $60,000, and it comes with our usual, they don't get paid till they produce the result. So, that's my report, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Haltaway. Before we begin council discussion and public comment, can I please get a motion and a second on the resolution to approve a water use and conservation management planning grant for the Township of Lopatcong in Warren County?
Mr. Chairman, I will move that.
Moved by Councilmember Vizzioli, who would like
I'll second it, Carl Spruce.
By Council Member James. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any council discussion? Okay, hearing none. This is a voting matter with public comment. And before I ask Herb to provide instruction for commenting, I'd just like to remind members of the public that right now we are accepting comments on the Lopatcong Township Water Use and Conservation Management Plan funding resolution only. All other matters should be held for later in the meeting. So Herb, would you please instruct the public on commenting?
Thank you, Chairman Richko. Members of the public wishing to speak should raise their hand and use that function in Zoom or press *9 on your phones if you've dialed in. You'll be identified by your name or your last four digits of your phone number, and please follow the instructions. And remember, there may be a delay before you are called on and before you are unmuted. When you do your comment, please begin by providing your name and any organization you are representing and indicate when you are finished. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes. Mr. Chairman, I'm now asking members of the public if they wish to make a comment on this resolution for Lopatcong's Water Use and Conservation Management Plan.
We have anyone in the queue?
Not as of yet. We'll give it another couple of seconds so that people can find. Again, if you're dialing in, *9, and if you are using Zoom, there is a raised hand function in Zoom. Okay, we do have somebody wishing to make a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, would that person please identify?
Well, the last four digits of the phone number, and I will have to unmute them, is 1079.
Okay, 1079, you are unmuted. Can you identify yourself and tell us where?
Well, they don't look like they're unmuted yet.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know who unmutes him, but somebody's got to unmute him.
No, I do that.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. Because... Now they're unmuted now.
Okay. My name is David Shope. And based on what I heard from, I believe it was Mr. Holtaway, you're not going to pay this $60,000 grant until the work product is done. Is that correct? I believe that's what I heard. Which means, does it also mean not just simply done, but acceptable to you? So I'm asking a question. And let me give you an answer if you elect not to answer my question. If it means that it has to be acceptable to you, essentially this is you're handing the township a fait accompli. You know what they have to do to satisfy you, and if they don't satisfy you, they won't be reimbursed. That's the end of my comment.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this resolution?
I don't have anybody else with their hands raised just now, Mr. Chairman. If you give it another 5 seconds or so, if somebody wants to.
Okay, we'll wait a few more seconds.
There are no additional hands raised for this resolution.
Okay, I'll close the public comments. Do council members have any further comment or questions on this resolution? Hearing none, Annette, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Next, we have a resolution to approve submission of the 2020 annual report. This is a statutory requirement that we must provide an annual report of our activities to the governor, the legislature, and the governing body, and the chief executive officer of each municipality and county in the Highlands region. Before we begin council discussion and public comment, can I please get a motion and a second on the resolution to submit the 2020 annual report?
So I'll move that.
Moved by Council Member James and seconded by Council Member, would like to do that?
Holtaway will do that.
Okay, Council Member Holtaway is a second, does a second. Okay, and we have a motion and a second. Is there any council discussion on submitting the 2020 annual report? Okay, hearing none. This is a voting matter with public comment. As a reminder, this is comment on the release of the annual report only. Please hold any other comments until later in the meeting. Herb, please remind and instruct the public on commenting.
Yes, once again, members of the public wishing to speak should use the raised hand function in Zoom or press *9 on your phones if you've dialed in. And I will identify you either by your name or the last 4 digits of your phone number, depending on how you joined our meet today. Are there any members of the public wishing to make a comment on this resolution, the acceptance of the 2020 annual report for the Highlands Council?
Okay, I guess we don't have any at this point, Herb.
Mr. Chairman, I do not see anybody using the raised hand function either on the phone or in Zoom at this moment.
Okay, I will close the public comment. And do any council members have any further comment on this resolution? Okay. Hearing no further comment, Annette, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye. Did you get it?
I got it. Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
All right. We move on to old and new business. Oh, excuse me. I am unmuted. We move on to old and new business. Any council members have anything for new and or old business? Okay. Hearing no discussion. Oh, I think that council member Vodin, you're muted.
Oh, am I unmuted? Hit the microphone.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
You're unmuted.
I'd just like to make a quick comment. When talking about the TDR program, we are mandated by the Act to establish a TDR program that's consistent with the State Transfer Development Rights Act. I would suggest that all the council members take a look at that State Transfer Development Rights Act, especially sections 154 and 166, to get a better understanding where we are with the current TDR program. And maybe we can discuss this at a future time. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Council Member Vodin. Any other council members have anything for old or new business?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Council Member presentation,
Francis?
Yeah, the presentation tonight was really good. And I have to point out that it's getting warmer now. And you know how I am with Lake Apacon and now also Greenwood Lake. They're very, very important assets and resources. If we're about the water, we need to really pay attention to them. And the presentation that we heard today was critically important to our lakes. And I would encourage everyone to support that and pay attention to that, because we need a lot of help. And this methodology we talked about today is a big step forward. Hopefully we can implement some of that, especially around our lakes and rivers, particularly our lakes. I'm a little partial to lakes, huh? But it's really important to our economy and to our environment. Thanks.
Thank you, Council Member Francis. Any other council members have anything for old or new business? Okay, hearing none, we move on to public comments. We will now open the meeting for any general public comments. Before I ask Herb to provide instructions, I just want to remind the public that we welcome comments, suggestions, and questions of any kind during the public period. However, the purpose of this is to allow public comment, not to engage in dialogue. If you have a specific question, please feel free to pose it and then follow up with staff via telephone or email. Herb, please provide instructions for the public comment.
Thank you, Chairman Richko. Members of the public wishing to speak should use the raised hand option in Zoom or press *9 on your phones. You'll be identified by your name or the last four digits of your phone number, however you joined. Please follow the instructions and remember there may be a delay before you are called on and before you are unmuted. Please begin by providing your name and any organization that you represent and indicate when you are finished with your comment. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes. Mr. Chairman, I have a member of the public with the last digits of their phone number, 4723. Give me a couple seconds to unmute this individual.
4723, please identify yourself.
It takes a little bit because the instructions to unmute over the phone take a little bit of time. Okay.
4723, are you on the line?
They still have not yet unmuted. Technical difficulties in the modern age, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I believe it's *6. If you have the last four digits, 4723, you could try *6 to unmute yourself on the phone.
Okay.
Still working on it.
Okay. Is there anyone else that's on the Q? Right
now, I do not have any other raised hands on the queue. Oh, there we go, Mr. Chairman.
All right. You're unmuted. Please identify yourself.
Yeah. A question for you. How did you get unmuted?
Wait a second. This is Hank Klump, correct?
Oh, yeah. Here. My name's Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in a Highlands Preservation Area, and that's not by choice. I have a couple questions, and I'd like the council to help me out on it. Maybe you can direct somebody. And I need some information as to the that New Jersey 4055D 154, 156, and also the New Jersey 1320, 13C. If somebody or if Lisa could, you know, a copy of something. So I'm a layman when it comes to this, and I don't know what those things are. Okay. And then also, Mr. Voden also said 154, 166. So if I could get a copy of that stuff, so I know better to understand what the council is talking about. But the other thing that bothers me is, and you know, it's been 16 years and the TDR program has not worked. And without a sending district and a receiving district, it's never going to work. So I think we should back up a little bit and go and find out what we can do. I mean, we give a lot of grant money out. I think we should maybe we should push something along to get some sending districts for this or receiving districts. I mean, because the way it is now, the plannings and engineers, I mean, they get this money and they just do what they want. I mean, we should have something to, you know, to reimburse us. But one of the other things is if the Highlands Council would send a letter to Governor Murphy, because apparently in his budget, he got an extra $4 billion, and I think the government's going to give him another $16 billion. That's a little short, but in the Hartstein's evaluation in the Highlands Act that took the land use was like about $15 billion. So it would be useful if the council will send him a letter and ask him for some funding for the landowners. I am very upset that Mr. Waldron is leaving. I sincerely, he understands the landowners' grief in this thing. You know what I mean? And it saddens me because he understands, you know, like I said, the landowners' plight. So, what can I say? It's that presentation that Chris made there was unbelievable. I enjoyed listening to it and it made sense. But again, in the Highlands, if you got 88 acres, you can build one house in the forest or 25 acres in a hayfield. So there's
I hate to interrupt you, but you're 3 minutes are up, but I know you're almost finished, correct?
Hey, listen, I appreciate talking. And if you could get me those papers on that 40-55D, you know, or somebody could send it to me, Annette can send it to me or something. I'd really appreciate that. Thanks again, and God bless everybody. I appreciate this. Right. Bye-bye.
Hank, thank you for your comments, and you certainly can contact Lisa as you usually do, and she will get the information that you asked for in your beginning of your comments. All right, anyone else on the queue? Anyone else want to speak to the-
There's one on the queue, Carl.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the last four digits are 1079, and I believe he is unmuted.
Okay.
Yes, my name is David Shope, and I got a copy of the meeting minutes concerning the, let's see what it was called, the amendment committee meeting where Rich Voden raised some issues about the TDR program, and some interesting comments were made by Christine LaRocca, who said that even though the program is not working, it's still legal. That's an interesting concept. The state can do something that is not working, but yet it's still legal. This is hardly news to me because it hasn't worked since the beginning. It was designed to fail. And for you people to continue to sign in onto a program that does not work and will never work because it was not designed to work, I find kind of interesting. And what she suggests is that you can continue, it's a policy question, and you can continue to work on it. Let me translate that to you from my point of view. That means you can continue to kick the can down the road until you all retire and the landowners in the Highlands, one by one, continue to die off. And meantime, Jeff Tittle, who you had a lot of kind words to say about, will continue to collect his paid pension. This makes no sense to me at all. I don't know how you can sleep at night when you knowingly accept Ms. LaRocque's opinion as valid, and I don't believe it is because I don't believe the TDR program has been challenged as separately. But in any case, if it has been, I'd like to see the case law on it. That concludes my comments for today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to address the council?
Herb, I don't see anybody else at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, let's give it a few more seconds to see if anyone does come on.
Yeah, no additional raised hands, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, well, let's just give it a little more time. Okay, hearing no other comments from the public, it is time to adjourn. We need a motion to adjourn. Who would like to make
motion, that motion, Mr. Chairman?
Moved by Council Member Holtaway, seconded by Council Member.
Who would I'll like second to, it.
Seconded by Council Bruce. Member. Bruce James, anybody have any comments, any discussion on adjournment? Hearing none, please, those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Aye. All right, the Highlands Council meeting of April 15, 2021 is now adjourned. Everyone stay well and safe.